All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Coding, and with me is the famous Trevor Jameson.
You're famous.
You're famous. The
car's famous.
You're like YouTube famous. Awesome famous. I
mean, maybe in certain ways, but...
If you don't know Trevor's channel, you're probably missing out, but he's at Motion Auto TV, mm-hmm. and behind us is his Supra. So we'll talk about it in a few minutes. I think what's interesting is, let's go back a little bit before, because I want to talk about how we kind of connected,
yeah.
But before we even get in there, I'd really like to talk about kind of what brought you into the YouTube space, right?
So, actually a long time ago. So I started the channel in 2010.
Right.
And so it's been around a long time.
Right.
And before that, I even was making random videos on another channel, like riding my dirt bike, doing wheelies. Like,
okay.
Long time ago, there was like a Craigslist HTML post, and I was trying to sell my dirt bike. So, like, okay. I stole this HTML thing and, like, uploaded a video of the dirt bike and then, like, linked it, embedded it on the HTML Craigslist
ad.
To, like, try and sell it. And so that was one of the things that I did. And then, so that video actually got like 100,000 views, like way back in the day, like, which was insane.
Insane, right.
And so it was always just me and my buddies farting around on dirt bikes. And then I finally, still have a 72 Datsun 510 that I got when I was 14 years old. It was actually my great grandma's car. She bought it new in the town that we live in, like original, found the window sticker under the seat. And so that's in my garage at home, but it has SR and all that stuff now. But it was one of those things where my dad was always he worked on cars. He wasn't into cars, like wasn't doing like performance stuff. And most time it was just like oil changes in the driveway and, you know, diff service, brakes, you know, stuff like that. And then, so I got that 72 510. It was a manual, you know, four cylinder car, rear wheel drive. So obviously I started looking up all the stuff. I was 14. I didn't know anything about Datsun. And so, you know, kind of figured out like the pedigree of the, you know, how good they were an actual chassis and the, like the racing history. I figured out that you could swap an engine out of a 240 SX in it. Yep. So that was the first thing I bought was a 240 to yank all the engine tranny out of that. So I swapped that, started doing some of that, did a little bit of that on that channel. Was watching some other YouTubers in Canada where they actually did like every two or three days, they'd upload a video kind of like what they were doing, like the projects that they were building and stuff like that.
And this is still 2010 time?
I was probably 2009, 2010, maybe 2008 a little bit, just because that's when we were watching. That was kind of leading up to that. And that was when I was making those other random videos on the other channel.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I want to do like an automotive channel, like a theme where it's like, it's not me messing around on my dirt bike with my friends. It's like, all right, we're building a car. And so if you go back to 2010, it was a Mustang. It was basically a drag build.
Okay.
And I built it in like a week, bought a Mustang off Craigslist, had like Bondo like dripping down like the the door seals and stuff, to where like when you open the door, it cracked the Bondo because they like just
layered it in,
globbed it in. So I was actually the first car I ever painted, you know, and it was kind of like a practice thing because I wanted to paint the Datsun.
Okay.
You know, you look around, you ask somebody how much to paint this car and how long is it going to take, and I'm like freaking 14 years old, you know, 15 years old. And so then it was, so I started doing a bunch of research, painted that just for fun.
Okay.
And then just kind of snowballed from there, you know, just started working on, you know, little projects here and there, like buy something on Craigslist, kind of do a little, you know, flip on it, upload a random video too of burnouts. Kind of was stagnant for about a year or so, and then I started getting into like drifting stuff. So then I kind of started building like a drift car, and then did a couple little videos, like a K, blew it up like 13 times and did a bunch of stuff. And then when I think I really, really started uploading like a build video is when I swapped the LS1 into my 240 SX.
Okay.
And so there's like, I bought a Camaro off Craigslist, you know, it was like tranny shifted like crazy. Full dropout, swapped it in the 240, like super budget, like bunch of random little eBay trinket stuff and stuff from AutoZone just to kind of get it going. And started drifting it and kind of showing my experience from behind the scenes. And then, you know, was still kind of working on cars, kind of on Craigslist type of thing. And then from there, it kind of was always like, I started finally getting consistent. I did Motion Auto TV Mondays.
Okay.
Where I'd upload a video every Monday, like no matter what it was like last week's, you know, BS of, you know, Craigslist adventures, or I did a burnout in the, you know, whatever, the 240 that I was messing around with. Yep. I bought like an Evo, and just, they were all over the place. But at least I was on a consistent schedule, and then finally started kind of condensing the videos down more of like, oh, this is what I did all week, to, all right, this is what I'm doing today, or accomplish something, versus just a week's worth of random clips. So
when did that change happen, where you kind of realized that there's going to be a more defined schedule and a lot more episodes?
I'd say more 2013, 14, somewhere in there.
Okay.
So
was the goal ever in that time for any monetary presence, or was it just kind of the love of kind of taking what you did and kind of putting it out there for the world to see?
I knew that there was potential for it, you know, monetarily wise, and I knew that eventually, kind of, you know, it's like you could almost foresee like automotive TV shows, you know, the BS that they kind of do and get away with, and like how much money they just throw at stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, to kind of make it done, absolutely, like to make it happen. And I was like, well, I'm a freaking kid. Like, I've never done this, you know, I can't do that. Like, I don't have a shop with 10 freaking lifts. And I mean, it's escalating, like, you know, but like we're getting closer to that now. Yeah. But, you know, it was one of those things back in the day to where that was just, it was kind of unattainable. It was like, I'm just in my garage doing this, you know, and I kind of want to share it. There's a lot of stuff with build threads too.
Right.
You know, so it was like, instead of like uploading pictures to a build thread, like I would actually post links to my video from the week. It was like, hey, this is what I did this week in my build thread, you know, instead of posting 20, 30 pictures. But yeah, I just kind of knew that was going to be the future, as well as like, you know, getting discounts and sponsor stuff on parts and all that. Yeah, and I mean, I came out here in Tasima in, I think, 2015 with like a little pamphlet. Like, I still have it, and I was like passing it around as like 4,000 subscribers. Right, I was like, I get 100,000 views a month, and you know, I think I was gaining, you know, almost 1,000 subscribers a month then. And I was talking to all these companies about, you know, my YouTube channel and all this stuff, and they're like, nah, man, we sponsor this car that's, you know, at this road course that has our sticker on the side of it. And I was like, I don't want a sticker on the side of it. I'm gonna make a video about it. Like, there's going to be 1,000 people like tomorrow that are going to see this video versus, you know, maybe 20, 30
people.
You were right in that
trench of, you know, especially automotive. Automotive tends to be a little bit behind the curve as far as kind of some of that, some of those things.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is you were probably right in that mix of YouTube not really being a thing and on people's radars and marketing an area where it was like, oh, influencing and influencers and views, that's a thing. And so now you're kind of you were trying to grind it out.
Oh yeah, like when I first came out here to see him, I felt like I was talking to dinosaurs.
Right.
Like it was like I would literally go to like the dinosaur marketing dude of like the company, and they'd be like, "Hur, like what magazine?" And I'm like, no. "Magazine? Like, what's that?" Like, it was kind of funny, but yeah, now it's just funny. Like some of those companies like reach out to me, and I'm already working with other companies that were more open to the idea and concept, and they're, you know, obviously progressing ahead is where the other ones are kind of falling behind. They're like, man, we should have been doing this, or you know. So it's just kind of, it's crazy. That's definitely, I'd say, the future, you know. That's where everything's going.
100%. So and it's interesting because like you're all self-taught, like you're not
I mean, it was like
formal.
It's mostly just like watching YouTube videos and doing it, you know, like go out to the garage and, you know, it's I feel like I have a pretty, you know, could kind of pick up and like intuitively, like I did a lot of construction stuff with my grandpa, and so I've always been kind of mechanical. You know, it was like when I was in middle school, it was like the Nitro RC cars, you know, breaking those things, blowing them up, tuning them, you know, swapping engines, breaking axles and control arms. And so I learned a lot of like, you know, basic mechanics stuff then. Right. And then you just transfer that over into a car with a different tool set. So,
which is interesting. It's like kind of how I got into cars. It was like one of those things where, you know, I just wanted to build a car. And so I took it apart.
Yeah.
And then when I had parts laying on the floor, kind of had to put them back together. So then I put them back together, and then the car blew up. And then I had to take it back apart, and then I had to go find more parts, and then I had to put it back together. And then, so there was a lot of trial and error, and luckily, you know, I mean, there was no big social media thing when I was, like, really trying to get into it. So everybody used to have hangouts, you know?
Like
everybody come over, and it would be barbecues and pizza hangouts, and everybody would be wrenching together. Mm-hmm. And you kind of learn from everybody else's experience.
Yeah, some guy kind of steps in, and is like, oh, yeah, I've done a head gasket on something before.
Right.
And they're like, okay, yeah, this is how you time it. And you're like, oh, yeah, there you go.
Right.
And, like, for me, more so, it was, like that, like, on the internet. With watching
sense.
other people,
yeah,
and it like Eric the Car Guy,
yep,
you know, like tons and tons, like he was
massive, and he's got this huge thing. And what I love about him is his content never really changed.
Yeah,
his, you know, his format always was always the same, running the same, and he put out a lot more content. Mm-hmm. But he was super true to who he was.
Yeah.
You know, and even to the point where he had so much subscribership, he actually backed off and said, I'm going to take a break for a while because, you know, there's a burnout thing there, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, just videos like that, and that's kind of one thing I've tried to do is, like, kind of give back in the aspect of, you know, kind of explaining stuff to where it's, like, it's not necessarily, like, a super pretty, amazing video,
right?
You know, where it's edited and it's like, oh, that was awesome to watch. I kind of want it to be like there somebody learned something, or you know, they have more so like confidence to go out in their garage and tackle the project versus being intimidated by something. They could be like, oh, look, Trevor did this in his garage, or Trevor did this, or he showed how you sand and paint stuff. And like, you know, it was one of those concepts, like with like on my Datsun, I want to repaint it, you know. It was the second car I ever painted. And it turned out decent for what it was now, but like compared to this thing now, it's like I want to strip that thing all the way down and like redo it. But it was just, you know, back in the day, that was like, I didn't know that you needed, you know, if you put a coat of high build primer on it and use the guide coat to see the scratches, you wouldn't have scratches.
Right,
that like when you look down the side of a car like this and you see that it's just glass and super smooth, I was like, I thought they had to come out of that like straight out of the gun. I was like, why does mine have orange peel, you know?
Right.
And like, you're like, okay, I cut and buffed this thing for like a week, you know, like when I first got it done to make it look like that. It looked good, but, you know, not like that. Yeah.
You
so.
Know, it's interesting. It's kind of like an artist when they do a progression, right? Like if you're a photographer or something, like you chronically take pictures and you think this is your best work and you kind of put it up there in your portfolio. And then, you know, a year goes by and after you've been taking a whole bunch of photos, you look back and go, well, that one sucks. And then you kind of like want to put that one forward. And that's kind of with builds. Like, you know, if you look at, and I know I go through the same thing. Like I look at some of the cards I put out earlier, and if I'd known some of the things I knew later, I could have done a much nicer job and probably more proficient.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what your channel is. It's kind of a documented online
like the progression,
portfolio of kind of everything you've done.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because you do tackle almost every facet of the car build.
Yeah.
You know, and you do it all there in your garage. So that space, because you don't do mechanics, you're not a repair shop.
Yeah.
You don't do that stuff really. At what point did you kind of get the space that you're in now?
So my dad had a 3-car garage. And basically it was my dad, my brother, and me. So we all had we all kind of had a bay. And we were all kind of doing stuff on Craigslist. It was like, okay, I buy a Honda Civic for $500 that, you know, has a blown head gasket or whatever.
Fix it up, flip it.
Fix it up, flip it, do all that type of stuff. Well, then it just kind of turned into where our house was like this freaking used car lot, like my dad's cars, my brother's cars, my cars, you know. And it was like I was trying to paint something in there. My brother was trying to do a head gasket. My dad was trying to do like a transmission or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're painting stuff over here, and it looks like a freaking used car lot outside. And
right.
So it was one of those things where I needed more space, because you'd get a car in and you'd start working on it and you're like, okay, well, I can't do anything till next week when I get these parts, but I don't want to push it outside, but I don't want to sit idle for a week.
Right.
So I started looking around for shops and stuff, and just kind of came into that one, and that's what it was. It's like I was working on Craigslist stuff and flipping kind of cars out of there.
Right.
And, you know, pick up trucks and all that stuff, and, you know, you pick it up, you figure out what it needs, you order all the parts, you wait a week, you get another one, and you put three of them next to each other, and then you just kind of get them all. And that's kind of where it came from. And then I started, like I said, doing the Motional TV Mondays and just kind of uploading consistent, like the performance side, or, you know, the 240, and not necessarily doing the Craigslist stuff on there. And, you know, and then it just kind of turned into more interest in that, trying to make cars go faster and faster and, you know, different projects. And they escalated a little bit more and kind of, you know, transitioned out of, you know, working on those type of cars and just more so performance and kind of, you know, like blogging my adventure, you know, like my whole process. And, you know, it's definitely been.
Where do you see your channel, kind of what you're doing around the channel bases and the brand that you're building? Because you are building a brand.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even if it's not your full out set on intention, like that seems to be what happens. You know what I mean? Where do you see yourself going, you know, 1 year, a few years down the line? Where do you hope it gets to for you?
I don't know. I mean, I think just on maybe a bigger scale, like not necessarily, you know, me doing all of the work, like
yourself,
all the time, you know, because that's really, really exhausting. Like we have Ty now, and, you know, he helps me film and edit and do a lot of stuff
Which is a big part to being able to turn out that much content.
Yeah, and it's so different, too, like just doing B-roll shots of me working on the cars. Like, he's over there filming stuff and seeing stuff and moving time-lapse camera.
Rather than
you know,
have to, like, stick a camera, a GoPro in your mouth and try to, like, record it with your hands or something.
And then he's answering emails and doing other stuff. So it's like, I could get to the shop and I could get started, versus, oh, I got to the shop, now I got to run through my emails for an hour or two, and then I got to edit a video, and then I got to tag title and up the, you know, it's just, there's a lot of social media stuff with that. I think I would like to kind of have like another like actual hands-on like helper guy, you know, almost even somebody that you could kind of teach, you know, along the way. And that way you could kind of really bang out projects and do stuff, you know, and then maybe I could kind of get more of my ideas actually done than,
You know. Well, and I think that's kind of what Chris from BS Rebuild kind of went through. Mm-hmm. And now he's got, you know, he's got a couple guys, especially that roll in when he has these big projects going on. But like, it's a matter of, you know, you almost balance your content, right? Because you get that point where you're turning out a lot of content, you have a lot of projects, you have a lot of things you want to do. But in real car building, a lot of these processes, they take a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want to have a video for 3 days about one wiring harness, right? Like, you know, you're trying to condense it. But, you know, it takes a lot of time to film and put that thing together. And to be able to do that, you kind of need all hands on deck, right? So that's interesting.
And that was one thing, like, when I was doing this car,
is
it was kind of a meme on the channel. I had, like, 20 primer videos.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, it takes a long time to get it, like, that nice, you know, to get the bodywork that straight and all the corners and crevices and stuff, so.
So your focus kind of going forward is maybe putting together a team.
I'd say definitely more of a team, you know. I mean, doing all this stuff, you can't, especially trying to scale it. I mean, I could keep it what it is for now, but, you know, you kind of get bored with that. It's like just with your car builds and stuff,
you want
to escalate it. You want to go crazy and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, I'd eventually like to own my own building and do some stuff like that. You know, more lifestyle stuff, get some real estate, you know, kind of under my belt. And, 100%. You know, like more future-proof things, you know, than the YouTube side of things. But
what I like, first off, what I really like about you and the relationship we've built is kind of, you're exactly who you are in front of the camera as well as behind, right? Not every YouTuber's like that. So I think that that's pretty cool. So I think what's interesting, you know, for anybody that's watching out there is what you see with Trevor on film, it's pretty true to real life, right? Like, there's no there's no antics there.
Well, that's what some people have, like, you know, told me when they meet me. They're like, dude, you're, like, the same in the videos.
Same exact in the videos.
You know, and I mean, it's because I am who I am, like, in the videos. I don't try to, like, every once in a while I'll, like, act a little extra excited just to kind of be a, you know, be
little,
funny.
Little,
like,
like,
just kind of act like I'm a YouTuber or something like that. But, you know, I think I do kind of talk a little bit different, like, in the videos just because I feel like I'm, I want to be
pronounced and clear and
concise, like,
and,
or I ramble or stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, I just kind of am who
so
I am. Like,
you and because you bring another element in that some people don't, which is your family life. You know,
a little bit, And so I try not to go too crazy. Obviously, like Jamie and the baby on the internet, like, they're, you know, I want to keep them safe and protected. But, you know, I do think that that's another aspect that, you know, a lot of people, like, I feel like a lot of people see and respect because they have, you know, just like you have family at home, and, like, I ask you about your kids, you ask me about my daughter, you know, and it's like, it's that other thing, and, like, people get so excited when they see Carson or Jamie on the channel, and they see that they're doing well, you know, or that, you know, they see that, like, we're able to kind of make it work with this crazy, hectic lifestyle, you know, and stuff. I mean, it is challenging sometimes, you know, working 100%. In the shop, you know, super late or coming to conventions like this, but, you know, she's amazing, and she supports everything that I do, and, you know, I think kind of showing that too, you know, kind of, it's like, kind of like the goals thing, you know, like,
I know.
Like,
I
you know, if he could do it, if he could build a car like that, if he could get a girl like that or have a family like that, like, I can too, you know, and I mean, it might not happen tomorrow, you know, I mean, like,
I
stuff like that takes time and, you know, definitely, like, self-worth and, you know, education and, like, you know, kind of grit to get to the top is kind of, you know, how you get that type of stuff and, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, because, like, you know, you talk about Jamie, and I think, like, this is the one time I think, you know, she really deserves so much credit, right?
Yeah.
Because not only does she support you, and I know she helps you with little projects here and there and things like that, but, like, it really is important, like, you know, especially, like, I know for me and, like, and I know especially for you, you're traveling, you're at the shop late, you do different things, you know, having a family, like, you know, these are the people, like my wife and your wife, they're at home holding it down, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife works, and then, like, I know Jamie works super hard with you to kind of be behind you and your brand, but, you know, having a family and being, you know, kind of this tripod, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That rock that holds the family together, it's, like, super, super important. You wouldn't be able to do what you do without her.
And, there's less purpose behind it, too.
Right.
You know, if kind of without that, you know, you're, like, almost kind of selfish, but, like, now you're kind of selfish for the family and, like, you know, trying to make that work and, like, what can I do for my family to make this better, you know, for our lifestyle or whatever, you know?
Right.
So it's always interesting, and it's hard not to spoil, you know, little baby Carson, you know, because she's, like, I kind of don't want to give her anything because, like,
I feel like her to be able to earn it. Like,
and
that whole...
that's kind of how it was with me. Like, my parents, you know, growing up, they didn't have a lot of money and, you know, credit card debt and all that stuff. So they're really good examples of kind of, like, what not to do in certain situations.
I understand.
And so, like, for me, that was another thing is, like, I don't like debt. I don't like credit card debt.
I'm
like,
the same way.
I mean, I absolutely
hate... If I can't buy it, if I can't afford it, I don't want to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, even when somebody gives you something, you're like...
Yeah, like, I don't need, like...
Yeah, I didn't earn that or whatever, and it's just kind of weird, like, you know, but I kind of want to try to put that some of that into her, you know, but you also want to give her a bunch of stuff that, you know, you want to spoil them, so it's a hard balance, but...
I think as a parent, we run into that whole thing, like, you know, you want the best for your kids, you want the best for your family, and you want to teach them all these life lessons, but in the same respect, you don't want them to...
You kind of
remember everything that you may not have had or that you wanted, and you're, like, in that position where you could give it. So you, like, balance that. I want to ask you, well, first off, I want to tell a quick story about kind of how I met Trevor, how Koenig linked up with you. Mm. Actually, I met you through Adam LZ, but not, like, an intro.
Yeah.
Adam was here. We were hanging out a couple years ago, and you were kind of just here talking to Adam, and we linked up. We gave you a card. We didn't really do too much after that. And then, you know, randomly you'd reached out and we started working together. And, you know, one of the things I had said before that's really important to us and for, you know, for people out there is that, you know, we did walk before we can run. It's not like you came at me and you're like, give me everything that you could possibly give me. But, you know, we developed this relationship where you could ask me for something and I could tell you what I had or what we could do. And you've always been pretty true and real and loyal. So that's like a big thing, you know, like that people can take... with them that, you know, when you're building a relationship with somebody, it doesn't matter what size or what you have to offer or different things, to be able to be genuine, be real, kind of look at the value trade on both sides, you know?
Yeah, so. Sure. And there has to be value on both sides, you know, you can't walk up to a company and see Koenig and be like, oh, you guys are, you know, this huge company, like I need like my truck and trailer wrapped and all this stuff, you know, it's like, you know, but it's nice working with you guys knowing that, like, building a car, it's like, that's just one thing that I don't necessarily
have to think about.
And it's like, man, you guys make sick wheels and stuff that works really well with, like, my audience base. It's not a, you know, $6,000 set of freaking custom forged, crazy spec, you know, stuff. And, you know, it's like you have stuff that works well kind of on a lot of the platforms, you know, kind of all over the spectrum. So.
Yeah, you know, and we put a pretty large emphasis on that. And, you know, what I like about you is that you do so many different forms of motorsport. You know, like, I mean, you do your own drifting and now you kind of almost, you know, besides just doing the building of your own vehicles and stuff like that. On the flip side, you had a kind of a weird year this year, kind of being working on the crew team with Adam, right?
Yep.
So what was that like, a difference kind of working on somebody else's program and kind of being in that FD circle this year?
I mean, it was really cool because everybody, I mean, it actually being on like a team and it kind of made me want to structure my, you know, shop and lifestyle and stuff similar to that, you know, and that's one of the things I always like about kind of hanging out with Adam is like, you know, seeing what that looks like, you know, kind of like the next level, and, you know, like
that's
that next level thinking and like taking it to the next level. And, you know, obviously like his time is very important and like spending it on certain other things. And it's like he gets the right people for the job essentially to where he's not running around like with his chicken with his head cut off, you know, which I feel like sometimes, you know, trying to do everything myself. And it was really cool because, you know, like in high school, I mean, I was working on cars and doing stuff. I was never like part of a team like doing baseball, football, you know, any of that type of stuff. So it was cool, like, being on that, you know, it's like, all right, this is the goal for today. This is what's happening. Like, we're trying to get on the podium. We're trying to do this. Like, this is your job. This is your job. And kind of just being a part of that whole, like, flow of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it's pretty hectic when you're out there on grid and, you know, stuff happens. You wreck the car. He wrecks the car.
But,
you know, it's, like, at the end of the day, you know, when you're all packing up and, you know, you're all talking crap to each other, throwing stuff and having a good time, I mean, that's kind of what all that stuff is all about, so.
What were some of the big learning curves that you have gotten from some of the other YouTubers like Adam LZ and stuff like that maybe apply toward, you know, to kind of, like you said, you saw where he is now.
Yeah.
He's a much larger scale. You know, what kind of tips or things did you pick up there kind of to maintaining your channel? And then the other thing I wanted you to kind of quickly go through is, what big things did you learn this year working within the FD ring?
Yeah. I'd say the t- tips to growing the channel? I'd say like the collaboration side of things.
Right.
You know, like working with other creators to where it makes sense for kind of both of you.
Right.
You know, and there's value on both sides of that. Because you don't want to ever do like a collaboration where it's just one-sided, where, you know, you have this big channel and this little channel.
And that's kind of how
it was with me and him. Like, he was this really big channel, but I was like this little channel. And it's like, he kind of had this exposure, but I had this knowledge. You know, and it
especially,
was like...
Especially like on that, and the most visible part of that I can think of, like on Adam's channel, is in Nicole's swap, right?
Yep.
And that's
kind of where our relationship really, like, it turned from like, oh, hey, Adam, like, hey, you know,
how
like...
How you doing? Nice to see you.
To like, oh, like, we're friends now, you know, like, and it's sick because we had that really good trade-off of, you know, I got like the promotion for my channel and kind of being able to showcase my workmanship or my knowledge on his channel, but he also got to do this crazy build in his garage in 3 days. You know, and that I think that changed a lot of stuff for him too.
Yeah.
On his next builds, because you know he kind of knew, hey, we can do this in 2 or 3 days, or we can do that.
Right.
Whereas like before, he really didn't have the confidence to do that, because that was before, you know, they had the shop, and you know Alberto had his shop, but
he had the lift in his house, and it was kind of the first made in, like, let's do this whole swap build and like get it done short period of time.
Yeah, it was like 3 days. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk about the car. You know what I mean? It's right here behind us for people listening on iTunes. You know, we're at SEMA. Real quick, I want to give... So Trevor reached out to us last year, 2018. Well, not to us. We were talking.
Yeah.
You had just finished this car, and it was a good time that this car could have made a SEMA appearance, and it would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
So it was a really good point last year when we met up, about how, you know, that would have been a great time to bring this car to SEMA and stuff like that. So you had talked to me and we were kind of saying, like, you know, do you have a SEMA spot?
Yeah.
It would be cool to put it in your booth. But we had already, you know, we filled those spots months before.
Yeah.
So now circle around, we're in 2019. Yeah, the car has been out for a while. But one of the things that I had said was, hey, you know, I reached out to you. I'm like, you know, you have any interest in maybe still getting it to go to SEMA?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, like... That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, having it in the booth is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I know what this car really meant for you and for your channel. And I also know that, like, it was great being able to be on this car from the beginning, you know, into this build.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What was it like kind of having it at SEMA? Because this is, like, the first time...
It's kind of like... You know, obviously the build took about 2 years.
Right.
I really wish I'd have been able to kind of push and get it done in about a year. So I initially painted it all red, had some issues with the paint, got discouraged. It sat for like 6 months, not doing much. Kind of got another, you know, hair, you know, like a little spurt of energy, and then painted it, you know, kind of the black and red.
Right.
Did the vinyl, and I mean, it was like a whole, you know, my fire was lit again. So, you know, that was really nice. We got, but then kind of the videos were doing really well at the beginning. Tapered off.
Well, it was a long build.
Yeah. It just took too long, you know.
Yeah.
It's attention span, and then, you know, in between I bought a bunch of random cars, did, you know, weird stuff.
Yeah.
So I've learned to focus a lot more
on
you know, kind of completing a build, and, you know, like the Civic was a great example.
Yeah.
But having this car, you know, recently we had the 10-minute video that did, like, freaking insane.
It exploded.
Like 12 million views in like 2 months.
Yeah.
It did 10 million views within like 2 weeks, which was absolutely insane. But, like, just having people see it and see the work that went into it and, like, be like, wow, this was that car. Like, I can't believe it came from that to this.
Yeah.
It, having it at SEMA is kind of like the cherry on top, you know?
And it's awesome having you here.
Yeah. So,
awesome.
And then, I mean, the new wheels, I think the new wheels look freaking sick on there. It's kind of, I think it kind of ties the whole theme all together. And, you know, especially lowering it down on the 18s, getting it more low. And hopefully I don't scrape the bumper too much now. But
No, it's cool. I mean, you know, we did a new hypergram finish with a dark metallic center and a machine lip. So it's pretty polar opposite to kind of what we've done.
Yeah, the full painted
before.
Stuff.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I want to talk about the car for a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. Is obviously a 2JZ car. There's nothing silly like a LS in this car. But built motor, right?
No, so it's all stock.
Stock.
Basically, valve springs.
Okay.
Valve springs, retainers, and head studs.
Okay, no cams. So give me a quick mod list breakdown for power.
So initially the car is an NA NA5 speed, so it's naturally aspirated, you know, NA2J.
Yep.
Obviously, when I got this, no wheels, tires, brakes, axle, suspension, glass, interior, anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, and if you don't know, like, run over to your channel and watch that 10-minute video.
Yeah.
We've been looping it behind your car at SEMA all week, so people really can get a connection with, like, this was not like, hey, I bought a nice Supra for $25,000.
And then built it.
Right. No, this was a car that was, I mean, fit for a junkyard, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
And so that was one of the things, too, is like coming from the 240 side, you're like, okay, I know how to swap an engine in something. I know how to make an engine work in that. I don't need to buy one that has an engine in it because, you know, obviously I could pick up a 2J from an importer.
Right, of course.
Slap it in. It's 2J and a Supra. It's like, it makes sense.
No
and
problem.
Then we're calling it Collins adapters on the adapter plate to get the Nissan 350Z tranny in there.
CD09.
Yeah, so it has the, you know, the actual 6-speed and stuff. So it's like, it's kind of like a really budget-ish, like, amazing car, too.
And it's like twin turbo 6-speed, so you still
It's the VVT-i, you know, car. So, and it's like, I didn't, you know, buy, like, a custom wiring harness or I didn't have to do, you know, get a car with, like, an engine wiring harness. Because those things are expensive.
And do a lot of different pinouts and different things
like that. Yeah, so it's like, I use, like, a wiring specialties harness, ECU Master ECU, like, full fuel system, all from scratch.
Right.
And, you know, just being able to kind of put those pieces together on a blank slate versus spending $20,000 on something. And then taking pieces off that it was a running driving car, made it worth 20.
Yep.
Like now I have probably less than 20 something into this whole thing, you know, with everything. And it's like that.
Yeah.
It's my freaking car. It's all built. Everything's touched. You know, it's kind of how you would build one of those cars anyhow.
Yeah. I mean, everything's touched. I mean, when you go look at the engine bay, the one thing you'll know is, I mean, you really did that clean tub in the front of the strut tower and kind of.
Well, that's because I had to.
Because it was that messed up.
Yeah, it was so messed up. It's like there's no other option
to do
that. But
what's interesting is it makes the car look that much better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's weird that, you know, that kind of was forced into by the fact that the car was damaged so badly. And, like, it would have been a nightmare to probably smooth that metal.
And then, you know, since the car was in such bad shape, I wasn't scared to do that. I wasn't cutting up a twin turbo 6-speed car that's worth freaking $100,000+.
Right.
It was like, this thing was meant for the junkyard. I could do whatever I want to it. It's my freaking Supra, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of been the theme of this whole build is, like, if you know, people think there's questionable things or, you know, they don't like the paint color. They wouldn't do this or they wouldn't do that because it's a Supra. It's like, well, I don't care. It's like mine. Like,
right.
At the end of the day, it's a Supra, you know, and it runs and drives and makes 2J noises and does burnouts. And, you know, like that's what I wanted it for.
So let's quickly go through the mods. What kind of suspension we have in the car?
So we have a BC Racing coilovers, you know, their DS series, the digressive system.
Yeah, the digressive system.
We have the obviously Collins adapter kit, twin plate clutch.
Yep.
Basically stock 2JZ, GT, VVTi, ECU Master, EMU Black, wiring specialties harness, full Deechworks fuel system.
Right.
We have
radium?
Radium intake fuel hanger with a dual, I think
dual
the DW300s or 3, yeah, I think it's the DW300 pumps.
That's a lot. So we upgrade the lines, did we go to like a dash 8 or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
So it's dash 8 feed, all PTFE with a six dash 8 feed,
dash
6
return
with a flex fuel sensor tied in an ECU master.
Oh, nice. So you can run flex fuel and kind of not have to worry about the variance that you'll get from the pump.
And we have the two pumps staged in, too.
Okay.
So it's like as soon as we hit like 1 pound of boost, like
the other pump kicks on, so you have more pressure. Yep. Yeah. Well, that's good because it's like it's an in-tank offering. You don't have to get into having a fuel cell or anything silly for your car. You can still run on the street, still stock filler neck, anything like that. So you don't get into that whole, you know, weird thing.
Yeah, all
the
gauges and stuff work, and I mean, it's sick, so.
And that's the beautiful part about the wiring, the specialty wiring harness.
So mine's actually kind of the universal one, so I basically had to tie some stuff out of there. And with the CD09 getting a speed signal, I basically had to wire it into the ABS sensor.
Is that right?
Take the signal into the ECU, input it, do a little calculation, and then spit it out to the speedometer.
Oh, okay.
To make it work. But, I mean, all that stuff, you know, then now I could have stuff with traction control and do stuff like that. So.
And then eventually it probably has control, like boost by gear or something
like that.
Yeah,
so we have basically a rotary switch in there. So we have 6 settings for that. Right now I have a BTI, which is a can gauge.
Okay.
So it's basically like
it's pretty dope.
100 freaking
gauges in like one gauge.
Uses a can stream. So I don't have to have 300 gauges all over the dash. It's like one little thing right in the clock.
Yeah.
Like where the clock used to go. So
So that's awesome. Exhaust, custom built, all that
stuff? Yeah, it's used a bunch of Vibrant stuff, made it myself, intercooler piping, all that stuff with myself.
You have the Wiggins clamp type thing. They're Vibrant's proprietary clamp, which is
awesome. We got my buddy at Creative Autos Designs, he helped build the headlights with the custom, you know, angel eyes and like the little tornado looking things.
Right.
So you have all the crazy colors you could do. have the Shine Auto like body kit type stuff on it. A lot of interior parts from a wrecked car. I basically had to buy a whole other car, just to steal like the HVAC and dash stuff and all, like tons and tons of nuts and bolts all the way around this thing were just from that car.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was really fortunate to find that car and actually be able to buy it, because like otherwise this thing would be, it'd probably be more on the race car spec.
I understand, because you're running out of that whole ability to source the things that actually make
like
the car
these
nice.
Things are insane. Like I was trying to buy HVAC stuff underneath the dash, $4,000.
Yeah.
I was like,
well, it's good, because there wasn't that many, and now whatever was left of all those cars being...
And left-hand drive is insane.
Right.
Like, because they made the least left-hand drives out of everything. So.
That makes sense. Most cars are probably in Japan, right-hand drive kind of stuff.
And the other thing that I really love, hard top, too.
Right.
So,
okay. Yeah.
That's another
thing. So you're not a big fan of the Targa?
No. Okay. No, from what I hear is they're just really flexy and do a lot of stuff.
Makes sense. Take the middle out of the car.
I mean, it just looks so much better.
Super clean.
You know?
Yeah.
It looks nice. So.
No, the car is awesome. The car came out great. Power-wise, give me...
Made 580 wheel horsepower. It was tuned by Amstec Performance in Colorado. So made 580 wheel horse on a Mustang dyno. So a little kind of, you know, heartbreak dyno, whatever, compared to dyno jet type stuff. But
probably a dyno jet 650 type number.
Yeah, and so it's... at quarter mile time, it ran a 1115 at 135.
Okay.
So, and the car weighs like 3,400 pounds, almost 3,500 with me in it. So
what kind of reaction time?
What kind of
60 foot?
The 60 foot I think was 155.
Okay.
Something. So, and that was with the 20s on there too.
Right. And now, because right now you have 18s on the car. Yeah. We did 18 11s in the rear, 18 9 and a halfs in the front, and you're running Nittos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the NT05s.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, you probably have a lot of room for improvement even there. And I'm sure you even have a little power tweak in it possibly could happen. So it's pretty good. Listen, I don't think I'll hold you anymore, man. We got so much. I appreciate you taking the time to kind of do this.
I appreciate you guys actually having me out and, you know, give me the opportunity to kind of showcase this, you know, at the show. I mean, just watching everybody around, taking pictures and talking to me about it and, you know, tagging me on Instagram and all that stuff. It's sick. So,
you know what? You're such a genuine dude. Honestly, I can say this like wholeheartedly. We have enjoyed profusely being a small part of your channel and your build. And it's just been great to have you here all week.
Yeah.
So
sweet.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Scott. Yep.
All right, so that's it. We're out of here. More info on the podcast, head over to koenigwheels.com/podcast and make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll catch you next time.